afternoon. Today is Thursday, March the 12th, 72nd day of the new year. We welcome back a position that hasn't been here for 10 or 12 years. Humboldt County DA, Maggie Fleming.
Hi, Brian. Thanks nice for having me on the show.
I think, didn't you come in a couple times when Terry...
I did never do the show, but I did come in during the campaign. That's the one time I've been over here. Yeah, that doesn't count.
Because now I can really ask questions. So Maggie has, in a moment of weakness, agreed to be a regular, and her slot is about the second Thursday each month. So I'll get a chance to fillet, and she'll get a chance to push back, and we'll have fun and all that kind of stuff. But at least we'll get to know what's going on in the DA's office again.
That's right.
So that's kind of cool stuff. At this point, we'll kind of do our touchy-feely, off mic I call it touchy-feely grope show. Yeah, get to know her a little bit, find out what's going on.
This isn't live, is it, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. No. Well, you think we're going to listen to this thing again? No way. But hopefully you'll hang in there, and we'll be back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 312. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Maggie Fleming, but before we do, our quote this afternoon, I'll even give you a choice here. We got Virginia Woolf, and we have Thomas Jefferson.
I'll go with Jefferson.
Oh, for 100?
I was just going to say, for 500.
Quote, I'm a great believer in luck, and I find it harder. I find the harder I work, the more of it I have. If I had stumbled in the middle, it would have been much smoother.
Boy.
Yeah, thanks, Damien. Was the mic open when you made your pithy comment?
I said better luck next time,
there
sir.
There you go, see. The mic's got to be on for it to count, otherwise nobody knows what's going on. So you've been in the saddle now for what, 10 weeks? Plus or minus?
Yeah, 10 weeks.
Is it starting to feel like yours yet?
It is. It is. It's interesting, you know, having worked there for so long, I really had that sensation of I was going home when I went back to the office, but obviously in a different role. So it has taken a little while to...
You in the same office?
No, different office. Yeah.
You weren't going home. You're upgrading.
That's right. Got the corner office, yes.
Now, I've not asked this of any of the badges that have come through, so it is a fair question. Are things changing? Do people sense that there's a change? Are the systems flowing a little bit better? Is the communication a little bit better? How would you grade yourself?
I think there have been a lot of changes. For example, one area that I'm really trying hard to sort of make a difference in is I really have always personally thought and professionally that reports that come into the office, we should be getting to them, reviewing them, getting them filed or rejected within 60 days, just to try to make sure the system's moving a little bit more quickly and effectively. And I think it's important not just to, you know, victims of crime, witnesses, but then also for consequences. You know, if a defendant is going to be charged with something, then it should happen. There should be a consequence. Or if we're going to say to that person, we don't have enough to charge you, you won't be facing these charges, that should happen too. And so one of the ways I'm trying to get that done is I've restarted police liaison. So Thursday mornings, all the agencies come together and we discuss the cases. And part of the goal is, you know, if I need
to... the cops in?
Bring the cops in, yeah.
And your guys?
Yeah. And just...
Boy, that's going to be a ton of donuts.
No, I don't actually serve food. It's just a meeting. Get it
okay,
done.
Okay, fine.
And so the idea is to really quickly... You know, if we have problems, if we need supplements, if we're still waiting for the Department of Justice to get us toxicology results, those sorts of things, we're all moving, you know, towards that goal. And then they can say, well, why did you not charge this case? What's going on with this defendant? And then also for the agencies to come together and say, we're all seeing this one issue. You know, this one person is committing burglaries, both Eureka and also out in the county. And what can we do to better, you know, sort of stop that
conduct?
So
it's kind of like a clearinghouse for everybody.
Yes.
Clearing the air as well as common thoughts.
Yes. And then the court sends a representative. In the past, we've had probation and parole have representatives. So we're all in, you know. And so when the court representative says we're having a problem, you know, warrants or we're not getting the warrant declarations quickly enough, we're able to sort of address those problems and move it. And that's my goal, is to really sort of improve the process, what people are seeing, the results that people are seeing, and get that going.
Did you hear that story this morning? I wish I wrote down the states. I believe it was Illinois, Missouri, a couple of others that had rape case samples, 12 years old. And was it the DOJ or an assistant attorney general, federal level, said, well, we're still trying to figure out how to process this and understand how DNA can help.
Wow.
Oh, it was one of those, are you kidding me, moments?
Yeah.
And I thought, ugh. But when you mentioned 60 days, is that the standard in the industry? That's what the benchmark is?
I don't know that there is a standard. I just think that that's sort of a reasonable amount of time and a fair time. Now, obviously, there's always going to be cases outside. I have some right now that have occurred, and because the investigation hasn't been completed, we're still waiting on some reports, or because Department of Justice is working hard to try to get through all the, you know, drug testing takes a lot more time than a simple alcohol result. So, unfortunately, vehicular manslaughters, we see a ridiculous delay, and that's something we've got to work on. And then also just other types of cases where witnesses, trying to nail down people's statements. And, you know, you see this sometimes in the marijuana-related cases, marijuana-related homicides. It's really difficult sometimes to get those solved. And sometimes those don't even come to us, you know, for the first year they're being investigated.
Are we like the missing head that showed up?
Yeah. Yeah. But just to sort of, with the reports that are coming to our office, because things don't get better with age. They just don't when it comes to criminal law. And so that's that's one of the areas that I see as a way to sort of focus on getting that done and getting, like I say, if you're going to charge it or if you're not going to charge it, getting that decision made.
I would think, just outside looking in, that you don't want things lingering.
To clean
it all up. But when you have the inordinately high amount of, I guess we'd call it loss of life cases or events that we have around here. You know, I talked to my buds. You probably have got some that are in comparable counties, maybe not in California, but throughout the country. Stunned and amazed at not only the level of activity that we have, but the amount of deaths. I mean, you listen to like our local news, it sounds like it's in the Bay Area. You know, today we had the car death yesterday morning, and the truck fall over, and then the head showed up. I mean, that doesn't happen in a lot of normal communities in the country. Can you process this stuff through, or is it just a total load issue that's also compounding how quick you get to this stuff?
I think it's sort of both. One is, and I've been really lucky, I've got a couple of the retired DAs who have come back to help me. One is Wes Keith, the other is Andrew Isaac, and I think that's important, is looking at the staffing issues that we see, because it's so important to have enough people to really review and move these cases forward. So my short-term solution, you know, has been to bring in retired folks as extra help.
KINS News and Information Time is 3:19.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, one of the things that I think is, if there's a golden lining to the silver cloud, or I guess that's, no, silver lining to cloud. Anyway, some metal that's out there that's really kind of attractive. With the Measure Z is that there seems to be a recognition now from the committee level, from the soups, and I think from the general public, that there are more players than just the badges.
Yes.
Okay. The rub, I suppose, is the percentages.
That's right. That's right. How do you divide it?
You pull the fire guys out, and they get whatever they get for their stuff. And everybody else is pretty much the guns and the robbers and the bad guys. If you had your druthers, and I know you're not sitting on the committee, so this is just purely hypothetical, how would you like to see that percentage of the non-fire monies allocated to probation, to sheriff, to your department, to whatever else that you might see ought to be in this equation? What's Maggie's world look like with that?
Without additional positions, we're going to just crush, you know, we will collapse under the workload you were just talking about. We have so many more cases. And, you know, it's sort of been a slow and steady process. We went through a really tough budget time not too many years ago and lost a number of positions. Those were frozen. But then we had realignment, and that changed the number of crimes that we saw here in Humboldt County. And then, you know, and then we had Prop 47 in the fall. And that has also changed how we're coping with the number of cases. I mentioned to someone else the other day, for the first time in my life, I was in court the other day, and there was someone who had 10 files. They were all misdemeanors, but that's 10 files that, you know, that's just his criminal conduct in a very, very short period of time. And that's someone that traditionally, at some point, we would have charged him with a felony because he had picked up so many misdemeanor theft cases. We
just
would have
poundage.
Said, yeah, it would have been time for him to be handled at a different level, and now we can no longer do that. So we absolutely, you know, I know we need more sheriff's deputies. I know we need more probation officers, and we absolutely need more deputy DAs. We had a couple of positions that were vacant, and I went through a huge number of applicants. We interviewed a number of people a couple of weeks ago, actually about a month ago now, and I've hired 3 new deputy DAs for this that are starting in March. And that's
transfers into Humboldt
fresh
County?
No, fresh new from bar results.
So they don't know what they're getting into.
Right. And they'll be doing misdemeanor courts, which will be great. And it's just so nice to have that infusion of, you know, eager new people who are there to help us with this caseload. And my goal, you know, as we progress with this is if we could get additional deputy DA positions, we need a couple additional clerical people. And then what I was thinking of, the service folks who really deal with victims and witnesses are so critical. And I think now would be a really good time to have a community service officer who's just going to deal with restitution issues, because that's a really big problem in the theft cases that we see. I know that's something I hear from the public a lot, both citizens as well as business owners, who just really desperately need sort of that follow through. And I know there have been pilot programs in other counties, and it's worked really well.
So you don't have to invent the wheel on this one.
No, that'd be great not to have to start from scratch.
So as you're looking at however it comes out, and by the way, artful by not throwing percentages down.
Thanks.
It sounds like it's people rather than structural. Yeah. Would you feel comfortable? I mean, because the Z concept is year to year to year to year, not here's a 5-year commitment. And I know Sheriff Downey is playing with that one also, as he's looking to hire people up as well. Would you feel comfortable in bringing in a new position or a new element and making that presumption that for 5 years it's going to be there?
I would. And I think people on the Measure Z committee are really aware of the fact that if we ask for positions, we're asking them to commit for 5 years, because I really can't bring someone. I mean, the cost of bringing someone here, both to them and to the county, training them and getting up to speed is very, very significant. And that's somebody that we would like to say, we're going to be, you know, building a new office with your help, you know, with your commitment. So I think that's true for probation and the sheriff's department. We really are saying we need to restaff our you know, from having had positions frozen, but also building a bigger office because of what we've seen in our community. And I think it's important we have that commitment for 5 years.
With the goofy stuff that Sacramento or the California voters, depending on which one we're talking about, have been doing, can you really anticipate the next couple of years, what's going to be coming down the pipeline. Hey, 47, holy Toledo, realignment. Are you kidding me? And they both happened. And it fundamentally changed not only the way you do biz, but the way the communities are now subject to some of these yahoos that are running around that really don't have the fear of God.
I think we can predict that. I'm very, very hopeful that last year's spike in homicides was simply that, a spike. I would really, because we've seen it before. I mean, in the years that I've been here, we've had a spike like that, not as dramatic, but a spike like that in the past. And I know in years before that, we did as well. But I think we're going to be looking at a significant change in the theft and those sorts of problems because of Prop 47. So that's something I think we have to predict is going to be an ongoing problem that we deal with. And then I think, too, we have to, realistically be thinking in terms of sort of the long-term problems that we've always seen in this community related to substance abuse and mental health issues and how we're going to address those and hopefully move those people out of the criminal justice system.
Isn't that historical? Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. KI, living history. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Maggie Fleming, Humboldt County's DA, newly minted. And that's, I'm presuming, the reason for the color of the blouse.
Yes, minted. newly minted.
Yeah, okay. Not that you can't read the calendar and don't know when
St. Patrick's
Day.
We've got a few more days
to
St. Patrick's, yes.
What do you think legalization of marijuana is going to do in our area?
I think the hope is that with proper regulation, it will reduce the amount of environmental crimes, and then also hopefully, if there's stabilization with the actual, cultivation, processing, and moving of it, it'll drop the level of violence that we see associated with it. I think that's everybody's hope. I think moving forward, we've got to be really careful to address those issues with the legislation process. I've said before, and I think it's probably true for a lot of people who've been involved in, the criminal justice system. The biggest concern is if it's done again by proposition, and it's done either county by county or jurisdictions are able to do their own thing, that we're still going to have a lot of problems. And obviously, because the feds won't move on it and make a decision as far as what should happen, we're always going to have the problem that we have now, in that it's going to be really valuable outside of California. So there's still the potential for the black market. And that's where I think we really have to sort of sharply tune the regulations and make sure we take care of that.
I would imagine, if fireworks are that way.
Yes.
Why not pot? I mean, I guess you need both. I don't know. I'm so much in the backwater and drugs, it's frightening. But I talked to some buddies in Colorado, and what they have seen and what they share is that the impact seemed to be in the smaller rural areas. Denver can handle it. It's the small little places that really are being, not overwhelmed, but they're just not able to handle. I would have said process, but I know that's a different term with marijuana. But it's the border towns that are really the issue, because they're seeing the cross state. So if you're in the eastern part of Colorado, Nebraska is coming in. If you're in the northern part, Wyoming is coming in. And that's where the challenge, as much as anywhere else. And I'm looking at our area going, okay, well, I guess Crescent City could probably provide that service if they wanted to. But Oregon's going to be, what are we, 3 months away? July 1, they'll be doing their stuff. So I'm wondering how this plays out also, but what do the experts say? Do they think, not the legal folks necessarily, but just kind of across the board, it is California, I guess, the equivalent of the FTC. Are they anticipating anything, or is ABC? Are they going to be posting guards at each of the veggie stations on the state border to make sure that marijuana isn't being transported across the state lines? I mean, at some point, it kind of becomes a little unwieldy.
I think it's very unwieldy. And I think we see so many of the problems now that we have to really structure, you know, where are we going to go with this in order to deal with that? Because, you know, I mean, locally, I think the Department of Agriculture will be looking at, you know, what are going to be the regulations, what are going to be the sort of, how is it going to be done in our area? But exactly the problem that you suggest is once it leaves the area, what will be the next sort of issues that need to be addressed? I think that, you mentioned the ABC. It's interesting because in urban areas that have already sort of set up programs, my understanding is it's very well, you know, regulated and dealt with. I know that Oakland has a number of cannabis distributions, and they are, or distribution centers, and they are very heavily taxed. City of Oakland, has policies and procedures.
That, it is that California, after all, the heavy tax part.
But, you know, and the voters, at first it was a lower tax, and then I think when they saw the revenue, they voted to increase that tax. So it is interesting how sometimes looking at sort of different stages of it, some of the urban areas have dealt with it and done a good job of
I suppose handling it. If they're at the retail level, that's one element. I don't think that there's an awful lot of drug house, grow houses in Oakland. And what do I know? There may be. But I think that's a complicator for us, is that we're on the producer end of, as well as the consumption end of. And it's really a twofold. With this probably being on the ballot next fall, are you going to be anticipating gearing up and having a specialist or two in the office to deal with this kind of stuff, kind of like we had with the cyber stuff a little while ago?
We have, and personally, I've always sort of looked at sort of some of the other issues that come up, specifically environmental crimes, use of water, what's happening with the stream bed, you know, different problems that you can see with cultivation. I think that will be sort of one area that we will have the expertise, hopefully by then, ready to address, because I think that's always going to remain an issue, you know, for our county. And as you say, because we're going to be probably one of the larger producers, it will be, you know, how we're impacted the most. I know that there are groups out there who are already working on what will be the various stages, whether it be how's it going to be transported, because that could obviously be, you know, a significant risk. And then also...
Go ahead, put it on that airplane. We don't care.
And then also the issue of if we're talking about what will be the revenue that we receive from this and taxed, is it going to be taxed in Oakland when it's at the distribution point, or is it going to be taxed here in our county before it leaves so that we actually have the revenue we need to address the problems that we might see down the road?
No manufacturer gets tagged. It's always the ultimate resale.
Right.
So
I know that some places, and I'm trying to remember now if it's in Colorado or not, but one of the issues is then do you set up auction houses? Because then it's in your own county.
That's like taxing the ball players based on where the game is being held. Yeah, they do that now too with like the baseball. When the guys are in Canada, they have to pay a different tax because it's in Canada instead of in America.
Right, right.
Holy Toledo, you sure you want a whole other level of bureaucracy associated with that? Whoa.
Well, we're going to have to find a source to pay for the regulations and for, you know, I mean specifically for the people that are going to have to be hired to go out and then inspect where the item's being cultivated, you know, in order to protect the people who... I mean, it's sort of like anything, any grower.
Now, it makes sense, but I'm just kind of giggling to myself thinking, and that falls at the feet of the folks that are trying to do a general plan for the last 22 years of trying to put that into play. We may have our act together by 2200. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time is 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Maggie Fleming. So, Maggie, as you're looking at some of the challenge, either with the general plan in the permitting process, alluding to, you know, some of the stuff we were just talking about, or some of the just the other things that are out swirling around that are not directly under your, you know, nobody would say it's a DA issue or a law enforcement issue, but it's an issue that's impacting everybody that does end up coming across your guys' table. What is it that's out there that if you could do the magic pixie dust, what would be your number one priority? What would you like to have Humboldt County or our area change, benefit, do differently, and poof, and it's in place? What would be top of your list?
I would think more treatment for mental health and substance abuse folks. I think that would really make a huge change, you know, in our daily lives, in their daily lives, and in how, you know, our community sort of sees itself. I think it's had a huge impact. You know, we were just talking about problems that we see in the community, and I think it's, you think about places that you used to go to and now you don't want to go to anymore, places you used to go to with your kids that you don't want to go to anymore. And a lot of it's a function of who the people are that now associate there or are living there.
Feeling of safety.
Yeah. And I really think we have to find solutions to that. A lot of those people end up in the criminal justice system. We're not really equipped to cope with their needs. And I think, you know, no matter what happens as far as the outcome of their criminal cases, we need to find a solution for the day they get released from the jail. Where do they go?
Does anybody do that job well?
I think there are I've read about programs. I know different counties have had pilot programs. San Diego's got the program, I think it's called, I can't remember now, but it's the one that deals with the chronic alcoholic, the ones that you see over and over and over, the alcohol, the people who are abusing alcohol and then living on the streets. I know that Marin County had a great program to deal with mental health issues. And they also, you know, a lot of places run it through their vets, the veterans court, which I think is a great service to our veterans. And a lot of them are unfortunately in the system. They don't want to be in the system, but they're in the system because of mental health issues or substance abuse issues. And the sooner we can sort of address those needs, you know, you're talking about changing people's lives, and it has such a positive impact, not just on their life, but then their family's life and our community as a whole.
Interesting you went to mental health. Congratulations for thinking a little differently than most. Yeah. I've had people, the closest I've had is families stay intact.
Yeah.
That would be, I mean, if you could do that. You know, right. So mom and dad were always there.
Yeah.
That would be something that would be seen as a positive also.
Right. And, you know, and part of our problem too, because we are so rural, the services that we do have, and they're limited, are here in Eureka. And you talk to folks in Hoopa or Willow Creek or Oreck or Garberville, and it's impossible for them to access those services.
Need to get them into the communities rather than concentrate it for the convenience of the provider.
Right.
Geez, do I sound like I'm on a stump? Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop with Maggie Fleming. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.